Laboratory.
There's a question in back there.
Two questions, in fact. One of them is, Bigelow speaking from Princeton. One of them is that the NORC machine design had some very interesting and novel features for guarding against error. And I wonder whether there was ever any report or analysis made of how effective these are, or these were. The second question is very brief. Is the Stretch the first machine that IBM put out which used transistors primarily?
It's the first machine put out which used transistors primarily. Now wait a minute, Fred. Exactly. There was a very early machine built, not at the time, in the first place, IBM and MIT, because the SAGE project were very close. TXO was built. Shortly thereafter, a machine in military products was built, which was a transistorized machine. Then, as far as delivery is concerned, Fred, you're dying to talk, answer the question. By the time the Stretch actually was delivered, Gene Amdahl, who had been the chief engineer on the 704, had already gotten the design out for the 7094, and that machine was delivered before Stretch was built. Did I get it right? 7090, not the 7094, that's right. Okay.
Thank you, that was my impression.
Since Dr. Pomeroy talked, I want to say one further remark about John Benoit. One of the greatest things that he ever did for us, when he was appointed to be chairman, to be a member of the AEC, he said to me, I have the group in Princeton, they're outstanding. In some sense, they came here because I was head of this computer project, although others who were in this room were head of the detailed engineering. He said, I'm concerned that they're outstanding, they'll all find jobs easily, but would IBM like to have any of them? We would have liked to have had the whole bunch. And as a result of this, Jim Pomeroy came and Dr. Herman Goldstein came. A great thing that he did for us.
There's a question in the back of the room, I believe. Can you bring a microphone? Yes.
Yes, Dr. Hurd was talking about the CPC, and it reminded me of how...
Please give your name.
John Wooten, Los Alamos. Dr. Hurd's reminiscence about the CPC reminded me of how close this whole industry came to being killed in its infancy. When a salesman sold a CPC to a small engineering firm in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and some months passed, and finally the planning sessions were begun to wire the control panels for the machine, and the remark was made that they had to account for the product of two negative numbers yielding a positive result. And the accountants, since they were the punch card experts, had been chosen to staff this facility, and one of them objected vehemently to this idea, and to the point where he actually produced a petition. And fortunately for the whole industry, the petition passed by a very narrow margin, and so things developed very naturally from that point on. This is a true story that actually took place in the early days.
Are there further questions? I believe I see one here.
Yes, I have a Neville Black, Los Alamos, question from IBM. I think the last vacuum tube drum storage machine that IBM ever produced, one that was quite popular, that a lot of people must have learned on, but that seems to have vanished from most of the histories, is the IBM 610. Does that ring any bells?
How many of those were there? Anybody know? The 610. Small scientific computer.
Yes, it was the first accessible personal computer that an engineer could learn to program instantly and get results on. I'm sure there were at least 50, probably more.
I can remember very little about that. I'm sorry. Anybody else? The 610. Can't remember.
There's another question.
That's
right here.
That's what it was called, personal automatic computer. You're right.
There's another remark or question right here.
John Brillhart, University of Arizona. I wonder if somebody would recount for me the circumstances which caused IBM to go to magnetic core memory.
Do you know? Is that why you're asking me?
Partially. Only partially.
Right. Well, there was a fight about it. And on the one hand, we wanted the 704 out as quickly as possible, and electrostatic memory was working. On the other hand, since we were working closely with MIT and SAGE, we knew about magnetic cores. The engineers were correctly reluctant to put magnetic core in before we had tested it on our property, we used a device. We gave a $100,000 contract to International Telemetering, headed by Ridenour, to make sort of an independent study of the feasibility of using magnetic cores on a commercial basis in an environment where, for example, the engineers of the SAGE project weren't immediately available. And the results of that study were very positive, and we quickly decided to announce and use magnetic cores. Is that the story you know?
Yes, more or less. Thank you.